Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Bonnie Gregory, and I know today if you'll stay tuned that God's Word will encourage you. The Word of God, the Bible, is just not a book. It's the living Word of God. And when God speaks His Word to us and let it flow into our spirits, we will be lifted up. And I know God's Word will encourage us today, so stay tuned. But first, I want to pray with you. Father, I pray for all my listeners today. There are many today that need a touch from you. There are many today that have ailments in their body. They need healing, and you are the great healer. And Lord, there are many today that have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that need a touch from you. All of us, Lord, have loved ones that need salvation. We pray, God, that you send people to them to preach the word and draw them in by your loving spirit to repentance and salvation. And, Lord, we do not fail to pray for our nation. Ask, God, that you reach down and bless America, O God, to bring revival in our land. For we know that the remedy for America is to get back into your house, get on our knees, and pray. And I pray today, God, that you'll awake our country, that you'll wake us up, O Lord, wake the churches up. And I pray for those, Lord, today on the foreign fields that are fighting. I ask for your protection, and I ask that you dispatch angels all about them. Now, Lord, bless this message today, Lord. Your word is anointed, but anoint us to preach your word and let nothing hinder your word from going forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I want to speak to you out of Genesis chapter 50. And I want to talk to you about the end of Joseph's life here. And I want to talk to you today about how God led him to the place that he was in at the reading of the scripture. So Genesis chapter 50 verse 25 says, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." In this portion of scripture, Joseph, it was his dying bed, and he gave a prophecy over the children of Israel that God would visit them and bring them up out of the land of Egypt and bring them to the land that he had promised to his children. And when they came up out of Egypt, Joseph was so assured that God had given him that prophecy that he told them, "When you go, take my bones with you." And that's exactly what they did. When God delivered them out of Egypt, Joseph's bones went with them. God kept his word. But how did Joseph get to this place here that he could speak over those that who had one time in his life tried to harm him, tried to kill him, and that was his brethren? At the age of 17, when we read about Joseph, he was sent down to check on his brothers by his father. And when Joseph got near to the camp of where his brothers were, they conspired in their hearts to kill Joseph. They saw him coming in that coat of many colors that his father had given to him. And they despised him because he was favored of his father and because Joseph was a dreamer. God had given him dreams and visions, and he had told his brethren of the visions God had given him, and they despised him because of the visions God had given him. Today, we see that same thing. There's a lot of people that will despise you because God has blessed you. They will despise you because you have dreams and visions. But let me tell you, as in Joseph's life and in our lives, that will not stop God's word from coming to pass. When God shows us something, it will come to pass no matter who despises us, no matter who or what tries to come against us. For the Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I come by to tell you that today. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. There are many people that might despise you because you serve God. They might come against you, and we're seeing that in our nation today, that the Christians all over the world now are being persecuted because of the cross of Jesus. But no matter what comes, they will not stamp God out and his vision and his word out. God is not running for re-election. God is not running for office. He's God. He's God all by himself. And man will not vote him out or stamp him out or put him out. God is God. And the Bible says, when we read about Joseph, when he got to his brothers, that they got a hold of him and ripped that coat off of him and threw him into a pit. Their 17-year-old brother, his elder brothers, threw him in a pit with the intent to murder him. How do you have such hatred in your heart? The Bible says that jealousy is crueler than the grave. And these brothers had jealousy in their heart because their younger brother was favored and blessed of God. Oh, what hatred will come in the hearts of people that despise the things of God. I have to be reminded of how Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says, but the people despised and rejected the preaching of righteousness. And we know how they ended up when the ark was finished, the door was shut, they were shut out because they despised righteous preaching. Let me tell you, people today in the same condition, Jesus says, in the last days would be just like it was in the days of Noah. And they do today hate the preaching of righteousness. Even so-called ministries today are teaching that you do not have to live a righteous life. But that's a lie hatched in hell. The Lord's grace will give us strength and help to live a righteous life and do that which is right. And Joseph was despised because he was a blessed man of God, even though he was a youth. His brothers, now I want you to picture this, they feared their younger brother because he was walking with God. See, when you got evil in your heart and your deeds are dark, you want to put out the light because it light shines on your evil deeds. And that's exactly what happened in the lives of Joseph's brothers. But they looked up and they saw a caravan coming down their way. And I know that it was not an accident that at this appointed time, a caravan happened to show up when Joseph's brothers were getting ready to kill him and do away with him. And the Bible says they pulled him out of the pit and sold him into the Ishmaelites, into the caravan, and sold him for money. You know, people today will sell you out to try to get rid of you. But God had a purpose, and God spared Joseph's life that day. And they took Joseph's coat, and they ripped it up, dipped it in the blood of an animal, took it back to their father, and this is what they said, "Is this the coat of your son?" They didn't say, "This is Joseph's coat." They knew exactly whose coat it was and what had happened. But they went in, not only had they done this to their younger brother, but they did this to their own father. They lied to him and told him that Joseph was dead and killed by a wild animal. And the Bible says that their father would not be comforted because his heart was broken over Joseph. Oh, what evil we do. What evil will come out of a jealous heart, of a heart that despises the things of God, of a heart that is evil toward God. Oh, we're seeing things today that I didn't think we would ever see, where it would be against the law for our children to pray in school, to have a Bible, for the servicemen, the chaplains to pray in the name of Jesus. It's trying to be stamped out. They've thrown us in a pit, trying to sell us off. But let me tell you, what they mean for evil, God is going to turn this thing around, and it's going to become good. And we see that in the life of Joseph. When he got down into the land, the Bible says he was put on an auction block. Can you imagine that one day you're in your father's house? One day you're wearing a coat of many colors. One day you're having visions and dreams for God. And then you turn around and now you're being sold as a common household slave on an auction block. That's where Joseph ended up. And a man named Potiphar, who was, we would say, the hatchet man for the Pharaoh of Egypt, bought him and took him into his house. But the Bible tells us something about the character of Joseph. I can't even comprehend what he was thinking as his own flesh and blood, as his own brethren tried to plot and plan to kill him and sold him off. And he was now in a foreign country being sold and bought as a slave. I can't imagine what he was thinking and how his heart must have been broken to think that his own flesh and blood would do him that way. But I want you to understand something. I'm talking to a lot of people that you've had some deep hurts in your life, but I always remembered what David done when he had been off to war, and his family and the men of his army, their families had been carried off, and even his own army spoke of stoning him. And the Bible says that David went off and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And when he went back, he got the victory because he took time to encourage himself in the Lord. He had no encouragement of those around him, but he knew how to encourage himself. And let me tell you something, we're now in a time, and it's going to get greater than ever before, that you and I are going to have to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. When you encourage yourself in the Lord and get in His Word and wait to hear from Him to give you the battle plan, you will be able to survive. You will be able to go on when it looks like all odds are against you. And that's what it looked like in Joseph's life at this time. It looked like all odds were against him. It looked like the visions and the dreams that God had given him that one day he would be a great ruler were gone. But Joseph never lost his vision. Joseph never lost his dream. Even though he had been done wrong, even though he was suffering many things as a young lad at this time, but even in the Potiphar's house, when he got to the Potiphar's house, the Bible says that Joseph, he done that which is right. And the chores and the task that was given to him, he did it with great ability and excellently. He did it to the best that he could do. And even Potiphar put everything in his household in the hands and charge of this young man, because the Bible says that God was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. Even being a slave, God was with him and he was prosperous. How do you get that way? How do you get prosperous even in a time of trouble? The same way that Joseph did. God was with Joseph, and that made him prosperous. But it does not end there. Joseph was with God. That's a two-way street. God was with Joseph, but Joseph was with God. No matter what you're facing right now, you got to know that God is with you, but then you got to know that you are with God. You're in alignment with what His Word says. You've got to get to the place that God's Word overrides your circumstances, that God's Word overrides your situation, that God's Word overrides what people are trying to do to you. The greatest weapon that the devil has to use against us is disencouragement. If he can get you disencouraged, if he can get you downhearted, then he has got you defeated, and you will stop the move of God in your life. Then the devil will come up and try to distract you from the calling that God has on your life. And then if that don't work, he'll try to detour you from the calling that God has on your life. But if you know God is with you and you are with God, you know that what meant for evil, God will turn it around, that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. When God is with us and we are with God. Oh, what a statement. We need to put that down in our spirits and in our souls and know that nothing can come against a child of God to defeat us when we stay with God and know God's hand is with us. And in the house of Potiphar, Joseph was blessed. In the house of Potiphar, he was a prosperous man. He was in charge of everything. And even the Bible says that the house of Potiphar was blessed because Joseph was in the house. Oh, when God is in any house, it's going to be blessed. You may just go there, but God will bless that place just because you are there. I want you to remind you of what it says in Psalms 23. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we're dwelling in the presence of God, goodness and mercy are going to follow us everywhere we go. God will dispatch His holy angels to watch over us and protect us and keep us on our journey. And even though we may go over some roads that are rough, God can give us a sweet journey. God can give us joy for the journey, even in the face of hard obstacles and hardships. God can bring us through. God can bring a sweetness in our life and a peace and an assurance, knowing that God will see to it that He sends out what He sends out. His word will accomplish what it's sent out to do. But as we read about this, as Joseph was being blessed in the house of Potiphar, then Potiphar's wife began to lust after Joseph, and Joseph denied her and ran from her, and it ended up that she lied on Joseph and told her husband that Joseph tried to attack her. And even in this situation, Joseph was taken out of a place that he was blessed of the Lord. He could have compromised. He could have let his standards down and said, hey, I got it good in this house. If I just go along with this one wrong thing here, I can stay in this house where I have charge over everything. But he would not compromise. That's where a lot of people today have gotten themselves in trouble. You have compromised with the enemy. You can't negotiate with the devil. You can't compromise with the devil. You can't bargain with the devil, because every time you do, it's going to come in and cause you defeat. And Joseph knew that. He would not compromise. And the Bible says that when she lied on him, he was taken out of the house and placed into prison. Here we have a young man taken by his brethren, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, put in the house of Potiphar, lied upon, and now he is now in prison. And we would look at that and say, hey, things are not going too well. And it would have been too much for Joseph. It would have overcome him. It would have taken him down. But he did not lose his vision of God. He did not lose what God had given him. And no matter what roads we travel, no matter where in our natural eye we think things are leading us, we got to know that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I love what King Jehoshaphat said when he found out that the armies were coming down on him and God's people, and they had no might against these armies. They had no way to fight against them. And Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer that I pray a lot of times. He said, Lord, we have no might against this army that's coming. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. What a powerful statement to make. How many times have we said that in our lives? Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. If I look at the pit, I will get depressed. If I look at the slave block, I will get depressed. If I look at what's going on in Potiphar's house, I will get depressed. If I look around the surroundings in the dungeon, I will get depressed. But I choose to keep my eyes on you, and I know you will work it out. And God worked it out in Jehoshaphat's day, and He worked it out in Joseph's life, but He will do the same for you and for me. You see, what works in God's word will work in our lives. What God did for Joseph, He will do for you. He will do for me. And when Joseph was put into prison, again we read that the Lord was with Joseph and he was prosperous. He was so blessed of the Lord, and he was such an upstanding, right young man, that the prison, everything in the prison was put into his charge. I'm telling you that God can carry us through the darkest night. God can carry us through the deepest valleys. God can carry us through every trial that we go through, but we must know that His hand is with us and He will bring us out. The Bible says that one day, the Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could interpret it, but one of the prisoners that had his dream interpreted remembered that Joseph had interpreted his dream, and he was reminded of God, and he told the Pharaoh about it, and Joseph was sent to stand before the Pharaoh himself. And when Pharaoh told him of the dream he had about the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows and the fat ears of corn and the lean ears, he told him, he said, "I cannot tell you this dream, but my God can." You see, in Egypt, the Pharaoh was considered to be a god, to be God, and for Joseph to say his God could interpret the dream was saying that his God was stronger than Pharaoh. Still yet, this young man would not bow down or back off. He held true to his faith. He held true to his standards of God. And he told him, he said, "Pharaoh, this is what God is showing me. There's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land, and then there's going to be 7 years of great famine. And what you have to do is store up in the time of plenty to get ready for the time of famine." And he told him, he said, "You need to get a man that knows what he's doing and to put him in charge of gathering the grain and storing it and putting it away and have a plan." See, Joseph heard from God. He had the message of the hour. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he was able to deliver it. You see, he wouldn't have been able to deliver it if he'd have caved in the pit or on the auction block or in Potiphar's house or in the prison. Let me tell you something. When you learn to stand in the small things, you learn to stand in the times of trials, when the pressure is put on you, you will be able to stand even before the kings and the mighty leaders and give them a message and not be fearful. And the Bible says that Pharaoh looked at this young man that had wisdom about him, and he had his faith in his God, and he made his stand. And Pharaoh said, "I'm going to put you in charge." And at the age of 30, let me tell you something. When this thing happened to Joseph, he was 17, and over the years, and now he's 30 years old, and God bought him and carried him through the pit. God bought him and carried him off the auction block. God helped him and carried him out of the house of Potiphar. God blessed him and bought him out of the prison. And now he stood before Pharaoh, second in command in all the land. Nobody was higher over Joseph other than Pharaoh himself. Oh, I'm telling you, God will bring you through. My pastor used to have a saying that I'd love to hear him say. He said, "God will pull you through if you can stand the pull." And I'm telling you right now, God will pull you through, but you got to stand the pull. And when we look at Joseph's life, we see a young man that stood true. And he did exactly what God told him to. In the years of plenty, he put away the grain. He put away and he made storehouses because he knew the vision that God had given him, that one day he would be a ruler. And that's exactly where God put him. God bought him and God carried him through. And one day his feet hit the palace floor. And I'm telling you people today, hold on, because one day our feet are going to hit the shores. Our feet are going to hit the golden streets. Hold on to God. Hold to His unchanging hand. Don't give up and don't quit. And one day Joseph looked out, and there stood his brethren, the ones that tried to kill him. They were now coming to him for salvation and food. They were coming to him to be saved from the famine. They were coming to him, and when he was revealed to them, they were fearful. But Joseph said this, he told his brethren, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for me to come and save not your lives, but many lives. Oh, I tell you what, he had no bitterness. He had no evil malice in his heart. He forgave them, and he fed them, and he was restored back to his Father. And I love the part of the scripture when the sons had to go back and tell their father that Joseph was still alive. They had to come clean of what had happened. See, your sins will find you out. But you know what? Their dad did not believe them. But when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent down, he then believed that his son Joseph was alive because he saw the good things that were loaded on the wagon, and he knew his son Joseph was that type of person, that he wouldn't put nothing evil or bad on the wagon. And I want to ask you today, what's on your wagon today? What are you sending down the road? Are you full of bitterness and unforgiveness because of who had done you wrong or the situation you're in? Are you still dwelling back in the past of what evil's happened? Are you getting up and going on with God? Let me tell you, every one of us has had things happen to us that hadn't been so pleasant. Every person's had hard times. And we, if we live long enough, we'll have some more. But we've got to know, like King David, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He's going to lead me in the path and a righteousness for his name's sake. And then he went on to say in another Psalms that the Lord ordered the footsteps of a good man. A man might think he's ordering your footsteps, but God's got something good for you. And Joseph told him here, and up above this verse that I read, Joseph got to see his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. God gave him a good life, and he got to be with his father. Let me tell you, the Lord will restore what the evil one has tried to take it away from you. But you got to keep a sweet spirit. The two most powerful words of advice that I've ever received in my life is stay sweet. And that's what hinders a lot of people. They have things happen to them, and they won't stay sweet. But I'm telling you today, no matter what happens, don't let bitterness or unforgiveness or a spirit of disencouragement overtake you. You stay sweet, and you can only do that when you stay at the feet of Jesus. Put your eyes on him. Get your eyes off of the circumstances, and we can be like David when he faced the giant. He didn't have his eyes on how big the giant was or the threats of the giant. He had his eyes on his God, that is, the battle was not his, it's God's. And that's what you and I gotta know today. This battle is not our battle. This battle is God's battle. Take your hands off of it. Quit trying to work it out for yourself. Let God fight for you. Let God lead you. Let God order you. Take no footsteps unless God has told you what to do. Stay in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, he will lead you there. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, I want to encourage you to write me. And if God lays on your heart to send in a donation to help me going, it will be a great blessing. But pray for me, and I promise to pray for you. If you have a request, mail it to me, and I promise to pray for you. But remember, God is faithful. He'll not leave us, and he'll not forsake us. He'll stand with us. God is a good God and a mighty God. Stand with him, and he stands with you. Today, visit my website, truckingforjesus.org. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day in Jesus.